Hi, my name is Brian Downs. I live in the CB South area, and I'd like to know what your position is on this new Starview development that is, you know, possibly in process in the next year or two, which is going to really change the corridor when you come into Crescent Butte. It's going to kind of destroy the view when you come into town. And when they talk about, when you talk about affordable housing, they're talking about $750,000 to $1 million for affordable housing and a Love's truck stop. It's going to destroy the beauty of this town, and it's going to markedly change the traffic patterns. That's already a major problem coming in and out of Cement Creek Road, as well as just the impact on the water and the viability of the area. So I'd like to know what your positions are regarding this new development that is going to drastically and, I think, very negatively affect this area.
I see, Jonathan, you taking a big bite out of that one, huh?
Well, the reason I want to go first is it's, one, I want to thank you for the question, and it's a really important question, but Liz and I are pretty handicapped here because that's an active application that's in front of the county, and it's a major impact application, which means Liz and I will have to be decision makers as that moves forward out of our planning commission. And people want transparent and fair government. We can't discuss projects that are actively in front of the Board of County Commissioners or an active application with the county. But I will take a step back and talk a little bit about the elements that you're concerned about. Traffic, water, things of that nature. And I'll talk about our major impact, the way the LUR works to address a major impact project. It has to go through a robust public comment period. It has to go through the Planning Commission, and it has to be viewed through the lens of the LUR. One thing that can't happen in Gunnison County, development that does not have enough augmented water for residential use, you can't approve more than there's water available for. When it comes to treating wastewater and things of that nature, CDPHE, the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, they are very strict and stringent about what can and can't happen around treating wastewater. Now, I can talk about traffic in that intersection because that's an issue right now without any further development. And we were successful working with others. We just got a $15.2 million federal grant, and one of the improvements is that intersection to make traffic safer for turn-in, turn-out lanes. There's a proposed roundabout to be built there and deal with that. And so I would say that things such as wildlife corridors, water, traffic, density, percentages of affordable housing, all of those things that you have expressed that you're concerned about are addressed through our land use process. But Liz and I are really handicapped in our ability to give you our opinion on a project that is currently under review by the county.
Thank you, Jonathan. Steve.
Okay. I have a little knowledge about this subdivision proposal. First of all, I know that the gentleman wanted to put in, I think it was like 70 houses in there and make them luxury homes, and then when we went to the county said, no, we want more in there. And then there is very, one of the problems that they're running into is where they're going to get the water from and the sewer. So, yes, this goes through a whole process. And the one process you do have to remember that whatever the county planning commissioners or board recommends, the final say is the county commissioners. We, I'll count myself into it, we have the right to say yes, no, we want more information from it. Now, I know that they don't want, that the developer did not want this many houses into there. So what's the answer with this here? I'm not too sure. I need to see more information about it. And since it's very in the very early stages of the Star Ranch, we'll have to really start digging into that and find out exactly what they're going to wind up doing, where they're going to get water from, and how they're going to be able to work everything else into that project.
Thank you, Steve. Lisa, you want to speak to it?
Just on a couple of points, because I don't know a lot. Like they said, it's in the early planning stages. We've looked at it. We've listened to some concerns. But one of the concerns that that you look at, and probably because it's in my household all the time. Anybody here in 2007, 2008, when we got 7 feet of snow in like 15 days. Anybody?
Yes,
anybody remember that? Yeah. My husband was out plowing in that. And my question would be, a roundabout? Are you kidding? Where are you going to put that snow? Because it is not going to go where it needs to go. And it's going to be worse. How do you get those plow trucks around it? How do you get the motor graders around it? How do you get the loaders around it? How do you get those dump trucks around it with that much snow as you start to squeeze in? When there's no place else to throw the snow and somebody's like, you put it in my driveway. I hear it all the time. I know, because it comes back into my living room. That you have to, I'm just, my question is, where are you going to put the snow? Because we didn't expect to get that much snow in that many days that day. But it's coming. It can. It has. It has a history of it.
Thank you, Lisa. Liz?
Yeah, as Jonathan said, I can't speak directly to this application, but I can speak to roundabouts. And what I've observed is that we're one of the last counties that is a rural resort mountain community to have one. And so I think that there are many models across the state that show that, and there's a lot of engineering studies that go into place before any of these are constructed and that do contemplate things like snow removal. And so I don't believe that we will have that issue.
Thank you, Liz. I might as well jump in with the hard question here, which, because it does mention Starview. This also came in from by email to you guys. Will each candidate please speak to the Whetstone housing development? And I realize that Jonathan and Liz will have trouble with that one. Will each candidate please speak to the Whetstone housing development, and if they have any better ideas? That I would like to hear. And also, would each candidate please state their opinion on the proposed Starview subdivision, which we've just done? Do the commissioner candidates have any concerns with the densities, the heights of buildings, and why not put the open space areas along the highway to preserve view corridors? Yeah, you like that one? Okay. And I realize Liz and Jonathan are going to have trouble with that, because if I'm not mistaken, and I may well be mistaken, the Whetstone housing development is also under review.
Oh, we're a little more free after last Tuesday, so we'll address it.
Okay, who wants to address it first?
Okay, well, I'm
Steve, go for it.
We're going down the line here. Again, Whetstone, again, government should not be building any housing. If you want to look at certain things, why isn't Vail coming up and helping with our housing shortage? Now, yes, in today's paper it did say that Whetstone was signed by the commissioners here, but yesterday's news, Vail is now putting in and building a fourth Vail community, and they're not reinvesting in anything in Crested Butte. Why is that? Let's think about that there. And why are we trying to push everybody into that? As you drive into today, when I drove up from Gunnison and I looked at this valley and how wide open it is, we're going to lose that. And once we open Pandora's box, we can't close it. And what do we want to look like in the future? In 20, 30 years from now, do we want to have four-story buildings on each side of the highway and, you know, growth where? And what's going to happen? Are we still going to have these people coming into Gunnison County to be able to live in there? There is something that is actually happening, and we don't really understand this. It's going to be called a silver tsunami. And actually, you can go back online. You can look at this. Within 5 years, we're going to have more senior citizens than we will have children. So in about 20 years, those children, there's going to be less of them here. Are they going to want to live in Gunnison? Or want to live in Crested Butte? Grandma and Grandpa left them in a condo up on Mount Crested Butte. They're going to sit there and go, do we really want this? So we have to look like and not overbuild our community right now. And we have to preserve this and look at what's available right now and how can we be smart and build housing with this. And, yes, we can spread it out a little bit more. That's what I'm thinking.
Thanks. Thank you, Steve. Who wants it again? Lisa, I see you looking over here.
Well, I'm just thinking and wondering and contemplating as they've signed into Whetstone. So I guess it would be a question. On the affordable housing rates, what is the rate of the affordable housing? Because I know it was included in this project. So what is the bottom line of what people have to do and make in order for it to be considered affordable housing, and it is affordable for your community?
Thank you, Lisa. Liz, you look like you're itching to go.
Yeah, I was jotting down a few notes, but I can just go. I do want to address that I did make comments on Tuesday about the repeated concerns that people brought up, which did have to do with the size of the buildings and also their proximity to the highway. There was a provision that we were operating under in the LUR that did not give us as the board discretion to not approve that project on those merits. The language, which I don't have the LUR in front of me, says that we shall approve, not we may approve, if the development ticks these certain boxes, and it did. And so I understand and hear the discomfort that people had, but I did want to put that framing in there because I think it's important. When it comes to our policy, you know, we are trying to keep that density around the municipality so that it is attached to the infrastructure that it needs to, water and sewer. I do think that that's a benefit. And new density or developments that are more dense than people are used to take some getting used to. I live in Van Tile, which is one of the densest neighborhoods in Gunnison. I love it. It is so vibrant. There are so many people there. I see a lot more people and have a lot more community there because of the density. So I do think that it will provide benefits like that. And then finally, on the affordability, breaking up the buildings, the larger buildings, as people had suggested, this is already a project that we're really trying to keep into affordability, and that will further make those affordable prices unreachable.
Thank you, Liz. Jonathan,
all right,
go for it.
So be clear, what was the Planning Commission unanimously forwarded a recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners to approve the land use application. So what we approved on Tuesday was that it met the land use of a major impact. So that's what's moving forward. There's still a lot of detail in this, and a lot of it is the business pro forma that we've been working for. To the question around affordability, for the affordable units, they're going to be scaled from 80 to 140% of people's AMI, which means when calculated, people will not be spending more than 30% of their take-home pay on housing, and the rent includes utilities. So that's an important thing to put out. Now let's talk about the height, the view shed, traffic, things of that nature. We won't see this up and down the corridor, and that's such a red herring, because you can't develop more than one unit per acre if you're on a well and septic system, which means you need to be on utilities that are connected to a wastewater treatment plant, and you need potable water. And we've negotiated in good faith with the town. The town's offered a utility extension. So the idea that you're going to see this all the way down 135, that's not going to happen. We have to face the fact that if we want to be able to provide housing for people to live where they work, then you've got to be able to have different units of different sizes and different affordability. And so when we look at the Whetstone project, I completely support it because it's going to look different and it's going to have a different feel, but it's going to be the thing that helps us keep people living here and working here. Is it perfect? No. And any politician that will tell you that they're going to wait around for a perfect project will get absolutely nothing done. There was a lot of give and take. There are things in this that works really well. There are things that will be different and challenging. Those things have to be meshed together to make sure that we can have a project that's livable, that people feel secure in their housing, that it's safe. And I'd point out that 47% of the overall space in the development is open space. So I could go on and on.
I bet
but
you
Diane
could.
But Diane told me I couldn't.
It's a hot button issue.
Can I just mention one thing? Just to clear up something we've talked about, it's called the LUR. I don't know if everybody knows what that is. Land Usage Regulation, which is about a document that's about 330-some pages long that tells you what you can and cannot do when building in Gunnison County, just to clear that up. So that's where we're getting that, when they talk the LUR, that's what that means.
Thanks, Steve.
Land Use Resolution.
Land Use Resolution, yeah. I remember sitting in chairs and watching that happen. Reggie?
If Reggie's got something related, maybe she should go
first. No, go for it, Sue.
I'm changing the subject. Okay. A couple of weeks ago, Senator Michael Bennett introduced the GORBAC to Congress, and I am curious as to whether you know what the GORBAC is and whether you support it. So take it away.
Thank you, Sue. Who wants to address the GORBAC?
Well, I don't know much about the project because it was kind of all of a sudden just sprung on us and as a public. And as far as I look at this, anytime the government starts, I'm looking at it's a land grab. They're trying to grab as much land as they can. And they're going to say that's available for this, this, and not this. But in 10 years, who knows? They could sit there and say, ranchers, you're allowed to use this for ranching. Then they're going to sit back and go, nope, we're not going to, because all of a sudden, new people are on a board, or new people are in the politics and controlling it, and can sit there and go, yep, we're changing our minds. Government does it all the time. So I'm very cautious about what is actually going to become of this.
Thank you, Steve. Jonathan?
Sure, I'll weigh in. I would hardly categorize a public process that went on for over 10 years as sprung on us. There was the Hidden Gems, which was a wilderness proposal, failed to gain traction. Senator Bennett at that time, and this was right when I first was a commissioner, offered that if locally we could craft a public lands bill that met the needs of this community and our values and concerns, he would carry it forward. So the Board of County Commissioners, a bipartisan Board of County Commissioners, it was Phil Chamberlain, Paula Swenson, and myself, convened the Gunnison Public Lands Gunnison Public Lands Initiative Working Group, and for 10 years we hammered out what's now the GORBAC that Senator Bennett introduced in the Senate, and it's working its way through the congressional approval process, which could take some time. But here's what's important about it. Who signed on and supported it? The Gunnison County stock growers, the snow trackers, which is winter motorized, goats, summer motorized, Simba, Gunnison Trails, High Country Conservation Advocates with a conservation and environmental perspective, the Upper Gunnison River Water Conservancy District. And so this thing has been deeply vetted, and the community widely supports it as a support of the town of Crested Butte, Mount Crested Butte, the city of Gunnison. It is so thorough and so detailed, and the way you categorize it, Steve, it isn't to the whim of what people want to do. If it passes through Congress and is signed by the president, it will provide additional protections on public lands that meet the values of people in Gunnison County. And a good thing to point out is with 730,000 acres it's protecting, it can't be a land grab when the land already belongs to the citizens of the United States. This is federal land. And basically, a lot of the protections focus either on ranching or on wildlife habitat or on recreation. And in most of the areas, it's about not increasing the amount of trails and roads and recreation infrastructure to protect the carrying capacity that much of this land is at.
Thank you, Jonathan. Lisa, you want to jump into that one?
I don't, because I don't know much about it. I've read on it, I've looked at it, and, you know, I've heard different opinions and different, so I'm weighing in on opinions from others that I know and I trust. And as you look at it, and you know, I've heard it's a land grab. They are public lands. They're already public lands. Why do we have to? All it's doing is causing more administration fees. So for me, looking at it and getting to know the answers before I say yes or no, would be very important to me. And so I like to listen more than I speak. And so that is what I'm doing currently, is getting as much information from as many different people as I can.
Thank you, Lisa. Liz, how about you?
I am in full support of the GORBAC, and I'm thrilled to see it moving forward. And I'm really grateful for the work that Jonathan and other previous commissioners and so many people in our community did to make that possible. And I, since Jonathan already covered a lot of the facts about it, I thought that I would just weigh in on, it's one of the things that I value the most about this community, is the way that we can come together and look at a hard problem and work across lots of different value systems and different perspectives to come to something that we can all agree on. And so the decade plus process, I think, speaks tremendously to what this community is capable of. I will also just, I'd just like to contextualize its importance as well, because the Gunnison National Forest is part of Grand Mesa Uncompahgre as well. So, you know, we're the GMUG. And there are a lot of different values across those different national forests, and they don't always reflect what we want to see locally. And we saw that with the most recent iteration of the GMUG forest plan proposal. It doesn't capture the things that we wanted to see, that our community said that we wanted to see here. So the fact that this process has continued and has been as successful as it has, that you know it is now being introduced in the Senate and hopefully will be signed by the president, that really ensures that that you've got people working for you that are maintaining your values and what we want to see here locally.
Thank you, Liz.
Reggie.
I have a bit of a double-barreled question. Liz already addressed part of this. Regarding both the Whetstone and the view corridor protection coming into Crested Butte, I've been here for over 50 years. That wow corner and the up valley view has always been critically important, I think vital to our community and the economics, of at least at this end of the valley, and I think that reflects down to Gunnison. Liz mentioned that you were required to, or the Planning Commission had to approve the Whetstone project because it met all the criteria. I still would like to know how each of you view that, the continuation of that and those huge buildings on the highway. There would be ways to protect the view corridor. I'd like to know how important it is to each of you, the view corridor and the open space along the road. Moving the recreational field or dog park up to the highway, putting the big buildings in the back, maybe it's too late, but those would enhance the view corridor. In my opinion, and I'd like to hear yours, we do not need to look like Breckenridge or Steamboat coming into town. We are unique, historic, vibrant, cute little town, and we always have been. There have been a lot of efforts. One of the first things that the land trust did was buy the Colonel's house and have it moved, the blue house that used to be at that corner that's now the upper edge of the Starview, or the Gunnison edge of the Starview proposal almost. To protect views, that's been huge, and I'd like to hear each of your opinions on how important that is to you.
Thank you, Reg.
I'll start. I think it's one of the most important things. Living in, as I can say, growing up in Gunnison, it's the best part of coming to Crested Butte is just coming here, is just looking at, I mean, it doesn't matter what season you're in, just coming and looking at what you get to come into is important. And I think it's part of our culture and part of our heritage and part of what makes people who come here, because you don't get to see that anywhere else. And I think it's important that we protect that because it's what makes us Gunnison County. It's what makes us different. It's what makes people want to come and vacation here and come and stay and play. And so I think it's one of the most important things. But another thing I would bring up is that what do we do about avalanche control down there on that side, on that mountain? I know as you get up towards the northern end, towards that county shop, that they worry about that. I know that they worry about that because my husband puts snow traps in there so that it doesn't take out the county shop. So has that been addressed? I'm sure it has. But when you look at those buildings and you look for the safeties of others, is that something that was looked at? Because sometimes that can be overlooked.
Thank you, Lisa. Who else wants to speak to this? Steve?
Sure. 50 years. That's pretty good. 47 for me. So I can remember Crested Butte being a very quaint little town, very unique to come up here. I can remember, and you'll remember, Botsy. Spritzer up there, plays accordion, dances up in Crested Butte. Tony sitting at Tony's Conoco in his rocking chair, just talking the stories and by the stove. We've lost that, and we can't get it back. So we have to be very cautious about what we're going to allow Crested Butte to look like into the future. And you're correct. I don't want it to be a Breckenridge. I don't want it to be a Vail.
I want it to still be that quaint little town that people enjoy to and make it so special. And how do we do that? That's what the question's going to be. And how do we do that? And for you and for us, it's who you elect into these offices, such as commissioners, the city council, everybody else. You have to look at who's going to actually be the next ones who are going to be running the county and the city, who will allow and not allow certain things to happen.
Thank you, Steve. Jonathan or Liz, you haven't spoken to it. Liz, you want it?
Yeah, I'll jump in. Thanks for the question. The view corridors are incredibly important. And that's one of the reasons why in our land use regulations, resolution, one of the things that we really do try to work with is keeping density where it is supposed to be, where it makes sense, connected to infrastructure around the municipalities. And so that is one way that we have been able to ensure that type of protection. Also, the county's participation in conservation easements across agricultural property so that, you know, we do maintain those intact properties that do give us those views. It is a really difficult issue. And I know that this change that has been proposed is really a hard pill for people to swallow when we talk about the view corridor. It's really difficult as well, knowing so many people who have been displaced from Gunnison County because of our housing shortages. What is 2021, I think that Crested Butte declared the first housing crisis in the state. And so to be able to get a sizable development so close out of Crested Butte does seem very significant. I'm not the engineer, but I can say that there were many configurations contemplated, which ultimately did not make sense, to be pushing snow all the way uphill toward the highway, for example. And so there are certain structural realities about the property, as I understand it, that made that different configuration less practical. But I just want to acknowledge that it's not an easy balancing act.
Thank you, Liz. Jonathan.
Sure. And Reggie, I really appreciate you took the time to come down to the public hearing the other day and share some of these ideas as well. I think you know, and you've known me long enough to know at a personal level, and you've seen what Roanne and Sharon and I have done of dedicating and giving away developable land to RMBL and the Gothic Corridor. There are places that we don't want to see developed and overdeveloped. This area is close to town. We were able to get to utilities to it, and it is a configuration of different size buildings, and the layout of those has been worked through from a technical standpoint, from a community feedback standpoint, and a lot of adjustments have been made. And I want to point out that the buildings closest to the highway are the largest buildings, and code allows 30 feet. The total height of these buildings is 37.5 feet. So that's this much taller than what the code allows. The way it is bermed already and way it is built below is the actual reveal from the roadside is about 1.5 to about 2 levels of the 3-story building. I was on the Board of County Commissioners when we worked with the town and we built the LIHTC project, Anthracite Place. People lost their mind that there would be a 3-story building in the town of Crested Butte. How is Anthracite Place kind of blended into its surroundings? Once it was built, I think people showed a little bit of a difference. Down in Gunnison, the Sawtooth project we're working on, people lost their mind when they saw on paper 30,000 square foot apartment building. Now that it's actually on the ground and being finished, people are like, it's not as big as I thought. And so I share the concerns about the corridor. The corridor is going to be maintained. But this area closest to town is the land that we have. And it's we had to figure out a way to make this work financially and a way to make it have a density that supports the rents that people can afford. And there's some trade-offs in this. My commitment is that you will not see anytime as I'm a commissioner the deep corridor looking like that. But these areas closest to Gunnison and closest to Crested Butte, what makes Gunnison County as we develop compact and in and around the towns, we don't spread it and sprawl it like they do in Delta and Chaffee and Montrose County.